Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack. Through this podcast, I'm on a mission to transform lives through primal adventure and to spread my mission of mentorship is conservation. This podcast is powered by Washington Backcountry, a resource for all hunters, both new and old. To find out more about Washington Backcountry, go to wabackcountry.com or search for Washington Backcountry on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. The Soulful Hunter Podcast is also proudly presented by T&K Hunting Gear. If you haven't heard about T&K, then it's about time you do. I've been using T&K gear out in the field and on hunts and have fallen in love with their stuff. T&K is veteran-owned and 100% made in America using only American-made products. All their gear is covered under a lifetime warranty with no questions asked. If it breaks or fails, they will fix it or replace it for free. T&K is your resource for bino harnesses, bow slings, and a lot more amazing gear. For more information about T&K hunting gear, go to tnkhunting.com or search for them on Facebook and Instagram. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Freedom on and stay soulful. The Soulful Hunter Podcast is also proudly presented by the Crazy Elk Company. Based out of the state of Washington with products made in America, they are providing solutions with gear to problems you didn't even know you had. Their tag wallet is one of those solutions, and I had the pleasure of using it on all of my hunts this last year, and it is now a mainstay in my kill kit. The tag wallet is a water-resistant zippered pouch that comes with its own reusable zip ties to safely and securely store your notch tag for quick and easy access. For more information, go to crazyelkcompany.com and use the code SOULFUL with a capital S to save 20% at checkout. Be blessed, everyone, and as always, stay soulful. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack, and today we are joined by just a phenomenal human being and a quality person that when you go out into life and you live your everyday and you run across a lot of different people, there's certain people that just instantly have that spark and you have that connection with them, whether it's the same energy wavelength or whatever it may be, instant best friends or whatever. Thomas is one of these people that as I went down to the Western Hunting Expo for the very first time this last February, I ran into him and started chatting with him, learned he was from the state of Washington, and just it really struck it up. Well, turns out about a month later, we both drew the exact same spring bear tag here in the state of Washington. And then from that, we just kept talking and talking more and more. And I learned more about Thomas. And I was like, it's time to get him on the podcast. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Thomas Mifsud from Breakout Now, which we're going to talk a little bit about that. This podcast is all about transforming lives through primal adventure. And the primal adventure is like the hunting aspect, but that transformation, that is where the beauty lies. We're going to be talking a lot about that on this episode. So, Thomas, thank you so much for joining me today.
I'm honored to be here, and thanks for the gracious introduction, man. That was powerful, and just where you're at and what you've been able to accomplish going through this podcast and the education is what drew me to even want to be out here after meeting you. Like you said, it's that instant connection where you know that for some reason, God has put us both in the same place at the same time, right? We were meant to meet, and we're meant to be here. We're meant to do what we're doing and to be able to serve each other in our life one way or another within this kingdom, right? And it's pretty awesome. So
yeah, I don't believe in coincidences. All things happen with purpose and with reason. And so it doesn't matter whether you're talking politics or happenstance or whatever. I don't believe in coincidences. Our stories, our journeys were meant to connect and we're meant to record this podcast and we're going to be transforming lives, hopefully through what we get to share and what we get to dive into. So give the listeners a little bit of background on who you are, where you're from, and all that.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Michigan originally. I'm 44 now. I'm a father of three, single father of three, and entrepreneur. I've pretty much been self-employed since I was 19. And I came up through the construction industry, started wiring houses with my dad at 8, concrete at 10, fourth youngest journeyman at 19, master's at 21, master builder in my own company by 23. And so I came up through that idea that I was raised to be this individual and this type of person, but I always knew there was something more, right? That I was born to be something else. So I had to figure out at some point in my life, where do I blend and marry those two? The person, man I was raised to be, the man I was born to be. And it led me down this journey of building multiple companies, multi-million dollars, helping other companies and other business owners, just expand and accelerate their companies. But there was still something missing. And it led me to the path to where I'm at right now, which is in Breakout Now, accountability and four-dimensional lifestyle coaching. And I had to go through it first, right? I had to be able to create that healed heart, that open mind, emotionally, spiritually, physically, get connected with who I wanted to create as a man, as a father, as a businessman that I wanted to be. And man, it's been a journey. This last 5 years has just been, you know, something else. Like if I condense my whole life, I've got more results in the last 5 years than I have out of the last 39 years. And that's, yeah, you know, and I'm a straight up outdoors guy. Like I love hunting, right? I've been on some TV shows. I've had my own TV shows. I have products in the outdoor industry. I'm friends with people that have products in the outdoor industry that are very involved like yourself. And it's in my blood. My kids hunt. I mean, my son took his first turkey at 4, his first bear at 5.5. You know, I mean, it's what we do. We both, me and my son both, along with you, all got spring bears this year, you know, so that's who I am in a nutshell, just really quick and sharp for an introduction. So,
yeah, I love it. So let me ask you the very first question I really am drawn towards is this concept of self-improvement. More often than not, the concept of self-help in this world, I feel like has such a negative connotation. Like, yes. Oh, nah. And especially within the hunting world, like this is a big thing that I really want to break down barriers. And this is why I'm always talking about reinventing and reimagining hunting is this macho man bravado that is like, yeah, I'm tough. Yeah. What's up? Mm-hmm. And very judgmental and not kind, not kind. That's where we talk about mentorship as conservation is loving, leading with love. And leading with positive intention and, you know, taking your eyes off yourself and all that. So where did your journey begin and start on this journey of self-identity, realization, and the self-improvement?
It's like you get to a point in your life to where you're like, I succeeded, right? And I love the point that you said you got to lead with love. Because the first thing was is like you have to love yourself in order to lead with love or to love somebody else. And most of those people, I was one of them, all macho, we lead with ego. We don't lead with love. We hide love. We cover it up. We keep it in our own self-made prison inside, right? Because we're brought up, men don't cry. Men don't have feelings. Men don't do this, you know? And it's a bullshit story at the end of the day, because to truly be who you are, you have to lead with vulnerability, which creates power.
Yes. Okay. So let's take a step back just for people who may not be like understanding this completely. What is ego? And then why is that always getting in the way of what we're doing?
So, and you know, people look at ego as a different directions, different perspectives, different mindsets. It's all where you're standing, right? Like I could be standing here looking at a number 6 and you're looking at it from your side and it's a number 9, right? So, but the thing is ego is fueled and based off of the lies and the thoughts that we create in our heads of the perspective. And I look at it as expectations, what we believe or think other people should think or feel about us, right? We have to stand up and make ourselves look at something that we're not to get the reaction or to get the feedback or the results, false results is what they are because there's no foundation underneath them, on where we end up being at the end of the day. So it's like, I got the money, I got the cars, I got the girls, I've got the house. That's all based on ego because at the end of the day, I'm not present inside my life. You know, I'm not connected to my kids. I'm not connected to who I am. And that's where I see that the ego, right? This alternate reality of the vision of who you are. It's not truth or facts. It's all false. It's all sitting out here in la la land.
Yeah. And you know, I actually kind of talked a little bit about this on an episode I released back in December called Untethering Your Soul, based off of a book, The Untethered Life or Untethered Soul. I forget. I'm drawing a blank right now. But the point of that is that so often people get stuck in their own heads. Now, you just mentioned it being like off in La La Land, but really, I feel like it's a cage within your own mind. You know,
well, but it's a false, right? It's a bubble. It's like that fuzz. So it's in your head, but it's your own La La Land. So if you take your brain, this is the way I like to look at it with my clients. I'm like, okay, we're going to crack your head open. And there's all these different little planets in there, right? Each one, like one's your ego, one's your love, one's your purpose, one's your why. You know, one's your self-value, your self-worth. So you can kind of break down your own mental capacity. You know, we each have multiple different brains. You know, they call it the monkey brain, the primitive brain. You got 5 sections of it, the gut brain. And it's like, where do you live inside of that, right? What do you believe and what do you want to stand for?
Yes.
when you survive and you just go through the motions and the chaos of everyday life inside of society, it's very easy to get trapped in the busy, non-purposeful, non-productive movement. You're always moving, doing something, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get back to like this original thing of what led you to this path of realization.
So I was sitting there, right? I had everything. I had everything that I wanted, everything I dreamed about. Self-employed, making really good money, more than I ever had before. I had everything I wanted. You know, kids are great. My health was great. I had the house. I mean, just like, if you looked at me, like 90% of the people would tell me, like, I want your life, right? And then the 10%, actually more like 1%, like you and I, would say, I believe your life's a bullshit story. Let's sit down and talk and prove really what it is, right? That you're really connected in the present moment. And so I was sitting there feeling this void inside me. And as a man, we're not allowed to like feel that, right? That's one thing I like about realization of getting out and outdoors, like you're talking about the transformation in the wilderness, is at hunting camp, without drinking or anything else, because I've been sober 19 years, going on 20 years in April also. And that's the spot for people to feel safe and to share, right? That's where you really get to connect man to man, mano a mano, no egos, everything set aside. Let's just be vulnerable and share the shit. This is where you get to dump all the stress from home, from your life, from work, from the wife, the kids, everything you've been holding up, because that's what you're taught to. So, and this is the point I was getting to, is like, I had all this built up over all these years. And I just had this void. I'm like, and I kept for about 7 years, I kept having this vision. I wasn't really into meditation. I worked out a lot. Like I did amateur bodybuilding. I got certified in fitness training. So I trained some people, and that's how that was my outlet, right? Heavyweight lifting, throw some weight around. Oh, look at me. You know, I'm a big badass, right? Which inside I'm like breaking down, like I'm crying because there's that hole, you know? And it was the self-love I was missing for one thing. I was trying to fill it with the affection of women and the comments from other people liking me, trying to bring that in to this void, not realizing I had to do it from inside. So I kept seeing this vision of me like as a king, right? As an emperor in a house in the middle of all these other houses and everybody's floor, kind of like the tree of life with like the Africa thing or with Avatar, right? The blue tree, right?
Yeah.
And I felt like the center coin, not the guy up on the hillside looking down and just being that, you know, dictator, but instead being down there and everybody feeding off and fueling each other. And I was like, I don't know what it means. You know, I'd listen to that song by Silence. Dang it, why can't I think of the name? I'm drawing a brain fart here. But he talks about the 10,000 people all looking back, listening to you, right? And that's what I think of, because I could see all these black figures. And I'm like, what does that mean? Well, then I got an opportunity. I watched a video within the coaching, healing the heart, healing the mind, and to identify that I've been lying to myself and I'm the biggest liar in my world and I believe it as my reality. So now I got to challenge my reality. So I was just like, shit, what does that mean? So for a year I sat on this and finally I know. So I'm a certified coach and wake up warrior now and with Unbeatable Mind, which is both intense programs. But I woke up one morning and the ad came up for probably the 100th time over the year. And I picked up the phone and I called, I emailed, I text, I messaged 4 times, 4 days in a row before they answered. And I was like, this is what the voice, and I call the voice, God is speaking through me. He's telling me to move here. This is my way to start figuring out what's going on. Before that, coaches are pussies, screw this, screw that, you know, I'm never going to be one of those, you know, healers or this or that, but it's a different type, right? Mm-hmm. You challenge as a war, as a battle, you go to battle with yourself. So I jumped into that experience. And from there, it just catapulted. It was the compound effect. If you've ever read the book, The Compound Effect, I just finished it. Amazing book. Life-changing book, right? And 80% of that book I did over the last 5 years without even knowing it.
Yeah. You know, I've never read that book, but my brother and I were just talking about today how things happen slowly and then suddenly. And slowly, slowly, and then bam, suddenly. And it's the same concept of the compound effect. It's like, and once again, I don't use the word grind. I'm not grinding it out because I'm enjoying all this process. And you got to enjoy the growth. And you don't have to, you get to. That's also changing the verbiage around. Is like, I get to enjoy the growth, and growth hurts at times, and it feels uncomfortable at times, and all these other emotions and feelings. And yet, at the end of the day, I can take a deep breath and go, I know I'm living to my fullest. I know I'm living my potential. Maybe I'm not where I'm at or where I want to be yet, but I'm on my way and I'm constantly making progress. And that's what we're talking about, like manifest boards and vision boards and speaking life and really speaking how you want your life to end up being. Leading with gratitude, being grateful and thankful and blessing everything. And yes, I'm not perfect. And life is difficult at times, but it doesn't mean that we're not acknowledging it. And through that process, like you were saying earlier, you get to be vulnerable and you get out of that box in your head, you get out of La La Land, and things start to becoming real, tangible, and it's your existence and your mood is literally transformed and life is just much more beautiful.
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more. I ask myself all the time, right? It's like, what needs to be done to get this result? Who do I need to become to get this result? Which level do you play at, right? When I switched that and I started following, who do I need to become to create the result I want in life? The how to get it came, it's simple, not easy, right? And that's a process I teach all my clients too. It's like, it's simple, but it's hard, right? If it's easy, it's most likely not going to get you what you want. Big difference between simple and easy, right?
Real quick, being a school teacher, I always talk about this to my students. I'm like, if it was easy, it wouldn't be good for you because easy doesn't breed success. It doesn't bring health. You have to go through some sort of process to get a reward. The saying, nothing is free in life.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. And that's it. It's a process. And I love the fact that you say it's falling in love with the process, whether it's painful or not painful, right? It's a process. I had a client on today. She's like, I keep getting frustrated. Like, oh, I got so far to go. You know, here's your target out here at the end of the year or 3 years or 5 years, depending on how you set up. Cause I train inside of the challenge-based lifestyle and I condensed her year into 3 months. And she's like, oh, I got so far to go. I was like, why do you keep looking at the target? She goes, because that's where I want to go. I said, no, you need to go to the next step. You got to fall in love with the process in order to repeat it and expand it and grow it for the next target. Because if you always concentrate on the target, you're always going to have that guilt and shame that you're not doing enough, or you're going to beat yourself up, or you're going to have to go back and reset 10 times before you start over again.
Yes. The process. If you're not enjoying it, then why are you doing it? And this is, I always talk about on the podcast, what do you want? Because if you want something bad enough, you're going to go through whatever process requires for you to get there. And if you don't enjoy the process, then you probably don't want that as much as you think you wanted it.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it's a difference too. Like I love the saying, you know, it's short-term pain versus long-term suffering, right? You're going to have to suffer a little bit of pain along the path to create the big results you want. So it's like, do I do that now or do I continue down the path I'm going on, don't make any changes, and just accept the long-term suffering at some point and never get to the end result, right? Because you end up walking in the darkness because you're not enjoying it. You're not open. You're not seeing what you're seeing. You're not noticing, hey, I got to shift 2 steps to the left. Hey, I got to shift 2 steps to the right. But you're still in a forward motion. When you're looking at the target, you don't see those moves. You know, and that's something that I strive in. It's like I concentrate on being present in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a linear path.
No, not at all.
One of the leadership conferences that I've done, they talk about your life is like a plate. And a lot of people think that they only have a certain size plate that they have to fit everything onto. Like there's no time for seconds. There's no time to go back for more. And so how do we fit everything onto our plate? There's not enough time in the day, hours in the week, all this stuff. And the concept is that they're like, no, you need to stretch your plate. You make room on your plate for what you want rather than saying, I have a little tiny side dish rather than a big old dinner plate.
No, and I like that concept because, you know, when you look at that and you look at what you want versus what you need versus what you can remove from the plate too, where you think you need it or you think you want it until you actually challenge yourself on it, you actually create more capacity, right? Yeah. And so stretching the plate, yeah, I got more room, but it's like you're never going to create more time and you don't really manage time. People that try to manage time aren't productive. People that manage themselves inside of their time, that's how you get productive. That's how you go from being 80% busy with 20% results to 20% productive with 80% results. And there's a mind shift there that you got to be able to create inside your own head.
Yeah, I totally agree. So being a school teacher and with the coronavirus, I've been teaching at home.
Yes.
And which a lot of people might hate, I actually have found so much joy and fulfillment in being at home. Obviously, my oldest kid is a kindergartner and he's not going to school. So he's at home with me and I'm getting to spend a lot of time with him. But here I am with this organization, Washington Backcountry, and the Soulful Hunter podcast. And I'm like, okay, I'm making steps here and there and trying to grow and reach and expand. But at the same time, there was a period of time in my life here this last year that I just really wanted to enjoy where I was at. Because, you know, God forbid, we're not going to be living through a pandemic the rest of our lives. Like, I want to take advantage of where I am currently in the moment. But now that 2021 is coming and we're shifting into, I finished last year's hunting season, now we're moving into this year's hunting season, I'm like, okay, I have goals. It's business time. And so when I'm not teaching and I'm not helping my son and being with my family, it's like, okay, I'm working on podcasts, I'm working on articles, I'm getting out there and doing the things that take time, that take effort, but they help me reach my goals, which is what I want over here on this whiteboard to my right, because I want them so bad that there are times and a season for everything. And right now it's time to get to work.
And I love the fact I've seen you kind of shift and look at your goal board, right? Your vision board, however you have it. Cause like I've got 4 8-foot whiteboards in my house. So from different training sections, this and that. But one of the main things I train on is goal setting, target setting, right? And how to condense 3 years into 1 year, 1 year into a quarter into the 12 weeks. And you break it down into those steps, but it's four dimensional mindset that you have to have too, right? You got body, being, balance, and business. So as a four dimensional human, 90% of the people, they only live in one or two dimensions. They become fuel or they become anchors. So you're always concentrating on one. You can't balance them all, but you can harmonize. You can take and give, right? Kind of like a teeter-totter in a way. You get that motion going.
I got to cut you off here for a second. Body, being, say that again slower though.
Body, being, balance, business.
Okay.
Conventional lifestyle.
Okay.
So inside of that, your body, that's your physical health, right? Your overall, you're working out, eating good. Like I've had a green smoothie every day for 5 years now, every morning, right? Whether it's a powder or it's fresh. It's just something I do every morning. It's part of my power hour. I get up every morning. My first hour is for me before anybody else gets up, anything. I do my meditation. I do my workout. I do my discovery declare with some reading and some sharing. And I do my green smoothie. It's a whole process that goes into it. But it sets me up for power, right? It sets me up to be able to create. Now, I didn't make that up. That's one of my mentors, one of my coaches gave me that. But without that, I would have never got to the spot that I'm at. Because it creates those habits and the consistency in these little moments that expand overall and they go into the rest of my life. So I was through. So I look at it as, okay, my body needs to be fuel, right? That's got to be fuel for another part. So like if I'm looking at, like you're like, this is business time right now, right? This I'm not into the next hunting season yet. I got time to go business. So I'm looking, okay, this is what I want for my business, but what do I want for me?
Yeah.
If that mark in the business, how's that going to serve me and my family? So you build that target first, and then you're like, okay, this is what I want. Now my business needs to hit this goal for me in order for me to get this. And now I can make my body, my being, with my connection with God and my mind, my balance, my connection with my family, the presenceness, I can use those three areas for fuel for the business. That way I'm actually working on what I want for me, and the business is serving me. I'm not serving the business, right? Not working in the business, working on the business.
Yeah. Yeah, it says in the Bible that, actually, I'm getting someone's hitting me up in the middle of our recording here. Here we go, back at it. All you listeners out there, we're Skyping through my cell phone right now. That's how I do my podcast, if you ever wondered. What is happening is, in the Bible, it talks about you cannot serve two masters. Because one, you will either cling to one and hate the other, or you'll be close to one and despise the other. Kind of says in two different ways, but the concept is that you can't love two things, and one is always going to win. And I think within the hunting world, at least what I've recognized, is before anything else like blows up or gets awesome, I chose to be a husband. I chose to be a father first. And those priorities, once again, I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I have all the answers. I'm just sharing. This podcast is me sharing my experiences. Getting into hunting later in life as an adult, hunting is all-consuming. Like, I used to snowboard. I used to rock climb. I was talking to my wife. I was like, I think I need to sell my snowboard and all my snowboard gear. I don't plan on using it because if I get a day away from the family, I'm going to be hunting. I'm not going to be spending it on the mountains. And everyone crosses their own bridge or fork in the road at some point. But with that being said, is you can't – if you love one thing so much, something else is going to be falling away unless you build it to support yourself. And with me, I knew that my marriage and my children, that's my legacy I'm creating and I am building into and investing into. And then everything else is just a cherry on top. I have personal goals. And with that, I need to communicate that with my wife. I need to make sure that's always... See, this is a big thing. Like, speaking out loud. I have to get out of my head. It's like when my wife and I shared calendars for the first time, it was mind-blowing. I was like, wait a minute. Oh, this is good. I need you to know this date so that we don't like cross-coordinate and all this stuff. So I love it. This is beautiful and powerful.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, so I have a very basic PDF document that I use for, right? That I send. It allows you to figure out where you are at foundationally wise today based on facts, and then where you want to go in the next month, and then break it down to the quarters. You could take it just like you were saying, you share the calendar, you and your wife do them separately, and then you'd bring them together, you do them together, and then you create a partner one, right? Like, these are my personal goals. This is our goal as a family. You know, it's a done deal. And it's amazing that when people start visualizing it and seeing themselves, you know, actually accomplishing them goals, being able to review it, being able to look at their weekly, kind of like, okay, I hit my one door this week, I hit my goal this week, 12 steps, and I get my prize at the end of the quarter, right?
Yep.
It's become real. Because they're, like you said, they're getting it out of their head, they're speaking it, right? And then once you speak it, now it's truth to your mind, unless you can prove otherwise, right? A lot of times we do lie to ourselves, and we speak lies to ourselves, and then we got to go to war with it. But the thing is, when you're going through this process, it's all based on facts, not feelings. You got to be able to separate them. We all feel certain ways because we have those emotional triggers and ties. But until we can get past that and look at what the foundational facts are, we really don't understand where we're at in life.
Yeah. Feelings come and go, but facts are true. And yes, facts are always there. So
anyway, you know, with my business clients, you know, I'm telling them, what are your numbers? You don't know your numbers? You have no foundation. Your company could be closed tomorrow, even though you're doing, you know, $17 million. Like, we don't even know what we're making for profits this year. I'm like, it's mind blowing. People just sit in this place of comfort and complacency inside of their thoughts, and they believe what they think. Yeah. And it's like, when you start challenging your own thoughts, crap gets real, real, real.
Well, and that's something that I was always ingrained with. I remember hearing this growing up, is your thoughts become your reality.
Yeah, 100%.
And so this is the whole idea of take control of your own mind. Take back your mind. It's your mind. Own it. But, and I got to cut out the word but. I've been slipping into a little bit of a habit. And you get to choose to control your mind. It is a choice. Just like you choose whether or not you're going to drink water or go to bed at a certain time or wake up at a certain time, it's a choice. Life isn't, we're not just like a log floating on a river going downstream and bumping into everything as we go. It's like, no, we have a rudder and it's called our mind. We get to choose which direction we want to go.
And that's, a lot of people don't connect there with that, right? We get to make the choice, but the choice makes us, you know, when they don't realize that the choices we make are actually what create who we are. Right. So I love the fact that you're like that, because a lot of people are just going down the river, bumping and everything. They never look behind to actually see that they have a motor back there.
Yeah.
They're like, oh crap, I can make choices on my own that actually make a difference.
Yeah. So this emotional intelligence leadership conference that I went to, it was 2 years ago. 2 years ago in January 2019 is when really my life like transformed. And I stepped into my power as a human being. You know, and I always talk about, if we're, God made us in the image of him. So if we're made in the image of God, then we're powerful because God's powerful. And if we don't step into that power, we're never going to know it. And so when I started to control my mind is when I started to realize what I have inside me. Where, you know, people have gifts, people have talents, but we're all created to be amazing.
Oh, yeah, 100.
And it's just a matter of whether or not you make the choice, the conscious decision to step into your power each and every day, each and every moment. And that's where I always talk about. And Lucas, if you're listening to this podcast, you know, you asked me one time, how do I show up in the world? Well, this is where you get to choose. It's not me telling you how you show up in the world. I can acknowledge you for what I see. How do you show up in the world? And that's a really key thing that made a huge impact in my life.
Well, and one of the things are that a lot of people don't look at, right, is you have to show up for yourself first. Because at the end of the day, you cannot serve or do anything for anybody else with an empty cup, right? So if you don't put yourself in that power mentally, emotionally, physically, in the morning when you wake up, you get exactly what you're willing to put into yourself, right? So if you're willing, like I have my AM routine, I have my PM routine, like even before I got on the call here, 10-minute meditation, 5-minute box breath, right? I get myself clear, I get myself connected, present to the moment of what I'm doing right now. Because you have to be able to distinguish the difference between consciousness and chaos, mm-hmm. right? Too comfortable living in chaos. It's just like multitasking. We can do 5 things okay, or we can do 1 thing great. So why don't you just separate and do 1 thing at a time great and still get all 5 things done?
Yes. I love that. This is we're going back to where I was sharing about the plate concept, and you were talking about your body being balance and business. Is I live in a mindset of abundance. I can accomplish it all. I can do all things. You know, making it, you know, going back to a Bible verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, he already created me to be in his image. I am powerful. I live in abundance. This goes back to, once again, the time, the hours in a day. You can't create more hours in a day, but what you can do is you can create each moment to fit into your day the way you want it to fit into. We are in control of our own lives. And if you're not in control, then it's time to look in the mirror, look yourself dead in the eyes, and talk out loud and say, what do you want? What do you want out of this day? What do you want out of this moment? What do you want out of this coming year? And, you know, baby steps or inch by inch is a cinch, mile by mile may take a while, whatever saying you want to use, like, identify it. You know, you don't just go out as a hunter into the woods and just, oh, there's something moving, shoot it. Yeah, no, right. You have to identify your target, and then with precision, you go in for the kill. And that's why I love hunting as a relationship to life and how they go together so well.
Yeah, no, and it is just like that, right? Because it's a conscious decision to move. Like, and that's why I love archery hunting over anything, because it takes it to that next level, right? It's like you have to be methodical. You have to be planning stuff with spot and stalks more than anything. And, you know, in life, that's what we're doing. You know, at the end of the day, we're identifying the target, like you said, and then we're making a plan on how do we get to that target, that goal, right? How do we achieve that next step inside of who we are and who we want to be? And it's just a process at the end of the day, and that's all it is. It's the conscious decision to wake up every morning and say that I'm going to be a better version of myself today than I was yesterday.
Yeah.
By committing to consistency on the little things daily. So like I have, and I didn't make this up. This is back from even before Henry Ford. It's the 6 things a day. You identify 6 things you do every day that are 15 minutes to 60 minutes max that aren't or urgent, but they're important. So like through my schedule, every day when I wake up, I've already know, like when I sit down, I write down my first 6 things. So I know up to 6 hours, this is my production schedule. These are my time blocks. This is how much time I have for Facebook, for emails, for my coaching calls, for this, right? Because I'm managing myself. Because I'm telling myself that I'm going to do this in this amount of time in these blocks and not get distracted or pulled different ways. So what happens to my production level? It goes skyrocket.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm getting more done in 6 hours than I was in 16 hours. Yeah. And at a level. So there's all these little steps, right? Little tweaks that people are like, oh, but it's so simple. Exactly. But it's not easy, because if it was, everybody would be doing it, right?
Bingo.
So
there's two stories. One that you were talking about earlier about believing in yourself, that is huge. And then also there's one that I want to tie into about like being intentional. So in college, I grew up with like bad habits. We were told, don't we all, right? We were told that, you know, we need to clean our bathrooms and clean the toilets. And because it's a job that is not pleasurable, it's very often discarded and put aside, and oh, I'll get to that later. Well, just like fitness and nutrition, it's a lot easier to maintain than it is to recover. And so I remember going over to my buddy's house in college, and he had a bottle of Comet disinfectant toilet cleaner, and he had it sitting right next to his toilet. And I was like, hey, what are you doing with that? He's like, that's for me to remind myself to just clean the toilet, because it's a lot easier to, when I'm at the toilet, to be like, oh, here, I'm going to put some of this on it, rub it around, scrub it down. Bada bing, bada boom, we're done with the toilet. That job that no one wants to do is done, and it stays a lot cleaner and fresher. And I was like, okay, this is where we get to always learn and take things from people and apply it to what we like. The other thing, going back to what you were talking about, how you got to believe in yourself first, this is probably one of the biggest and most impactful moments in my childhood that has lived with me each and every day going forward, is I was on a sports team where I was really good. Their athletics comes to me easily, and I'm not trying to brag. I played college sports. I played multiple college sports. I had opportunities for things. And we had to vote for MVP. And I was like, I'm going to take the humble route. I'm not going to vote for myself. Later, before the winner was announced, someone came up to me and they go, did you vote for yourself? I said, no. They go, you lost by one vote. And from that moment, I realized you have to do it yourself. You have to believe in yourself. You have to vote for yourself. You have to go, you know, you don't have a presidential election and then have that president candidate vote for the other person. That sounds ridiculous. Vote for yourself. Choose yourself. Love yourself. Invest in yourself. And then from there, everything else grows, and it's beautiful.
It's one of those key points to where, like, you're your number one investment at the end of the day, right? You go back to looking in the mirror and talking to yourself, right? I looked in the mirror, I went through a process, through an evolution, where it's man in the mirror. Look in the mirror and you challenge yourself. So you identify, what truly is my purpose? Like, what do I really want out of life? Why? Why do I want it? And then what does it matter? And then if I get it, how's my life going to look? Right? And you challenge yourself to be like, okay, this is who I am right now. I have to be okay. I have to give myself permission to accept and believe the fact that I am who the facts say I am right now, standing in today. You know, and now I get that choice to where, if I'm not going to vote for myself, why is anybody else going to vote for me?
Yes.
If I'm going to invest in me, why is anybody else? Because if I don't believe enough in myself to vote for myself, then what kind of confidence, or what am I showing the people around me as a leader? I'm not. I'm a follower. Right?
Powerful. Powerful. And one thing I do want to share with listeners is, when we are talking about goals and desires and wants and what do we want, and so often people get caught up in the how. Well, how is that going to happen? How am I going to make this work? How am I going to afford that? The how is irrelevant to the what. If you don't know the what, you better forget about the how, because the what is the most important thing, and the how always takes care of itself. If there's a will, there's a way. You know,
how will shift. That's the thing, right? That how always shifting. It's like a river. So you have your what, you have your target, but like you said, it's not a linear path. The how is always moving up the mountain, down the mountain, across this river, across that river, through the ice, through the sand, back and forth. You know, before you know it, you went around Hawaii and New Zealand back, and you ended up back at home, and there's where your actual what you wanted is, right?
Yes.
So there's no indication on the how, what it's going to be. But I like the fact that, you know, if you don't identify the what, you're never going to know the how. It's never going to come to you. You're going to be a wanderer out in the Sahara Desert for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and let's tie it into hunting right here. So let's say you got just this gorgeous elk that is bedded down on this opposite hillside drainage. The wind isn't in your favor. Well, if you were just like, how am I going to kill an elk? How am I going to kill an elk? You never identified your target. You're never going to kill it. Because it might take you a mile and a half out of the way, a different direction, to make sure that the wind is in your favor and you come down in a killable location to actually get your what. But like we said, it's not linear. You can't just see something, walk straight to it, and be like, ha, bam, I did it. I mean, there's an opportunity where that could happen. However, if we're talking about hunting scenarios, you know, things are constantly changing. Same in life.
And that's the thing. It's like, it isn't about the how either. You know, the thing, I go back to the saying I said earlier. When you make the what, you as a person you are right now today, standing here, sitting there, laying there, wherever you're at listening to this, when you look at or think of or design or develop a desire or a goal and you say, I want this, the person you are at right now today cannot achieve that. That's why you want it. That's why you don't have it. Because you haven't became the person that could actually obtain that as a result. So now it's reverse engineering, or it's stepping back now. Now I'm going to start down that path because I've identified that what. Now I'll start becoming the person that can actually create that as a result inside my life and become part of who I am and how I live.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Reverse engineer your life. Yes. Know the end result and then figure out how to get there, because you know what it's going to look like on the other side.
And that's exactly how I coach inside of my business and my personal. And that's what I do myself, because I live it, right? So I learned it, I lived it, now I lead it. So at the end of the day, I take what I want in a year and I condense it into 90 days. And then I break that down into 12 weeks and into 5 steps every week. So I already know what my results can be. As long as I stay on the path and I do what I set up and I tell myself and I commit to doing, that result's going to be there. And I'm going to become more of a person that I want to be every time I take that next step the next day.
Man.
When you just, you know, you just, you're shooting. I go back, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you out there. I go back to the difference. I say target a lot instead of goal. It's, one thing is hunting, right? It's targets. Like, I shoot targets. I don't shoot goals. You know, I've never seen anybody go, hey, what are you doing today? I'm going to go out goal shooting, you know? Playing hockey? What are you doing? It's like, or soccer? You know, it's like, what's up? It doesn't work that way, right? So I look at it as, okay, I can either have a 12-gauge with buckshot and just shoot it in the woods and hope I hit something, or I can lay down with a sniper rifle and be dialed in and know that when I set on my target, I'm going to hit it. I can set on my target and hit it with the process that I go through every day, where I was living before, or, you know, when, before I started this path of self-development, I couldn't. I was shooting that 12-gauge just hoping I'd hit something sooner or later, right? Okay, 100 shots. Yeah, I finally got something. Oh, that's mine. Okay, I can eat a little bit. Oh, I'm hungry again. Let's go back out and start hunting again, right?
Yeah.
And that's, I love the daily hunt that I used to do it. I need to get back into it. But it's every day we wake up, we're hunting for something in life.
That is so beautiful. I love that. Okay, so let's tie this into hunting and the concept of what you want and having that purpose and that drive and all that. Here you are. You just killed your very first elk this year in 2020.
Yep.
How many years have you been hunting?
I've been hunting elk for 12 years. I've been putting in for that permit for 10.
Okay, so we were talking before we hit the record button on this podcast, and you were saying the very first time that when I moved to Washington, right, that I took a hike and I saw this gorgeous bull, but it didn't give me a shot opportunity. And from that moment on, I realized, by the way, I don't want to put words in your mouth. It's so good. I'm sorry, but you're like, if I'm going to shoot an elk, I want to shoot a caliber elk like that. So you already identified your what?
Yes, 100%.
And did it happen the next year?
No, it took 10 years from that point. So actually it took 11 if you minus a year in between. So the first 2 years I moved here, I didn't know about points, right? So I didn't put any points. I've been here 13 years now. And I was like, okay, I moved to Washington. There's elk. I read some books, I watched videos, I bought all my stuff, put it in a backpack, and disappeared in the mountains for 4 days by myself. Get on this beautiful bull raking a tree, 35 yards, sitting there, ass to face, right? No shot, lifts his head up, walks away after 20, 35 minutes. And I was just like, oh my God. And looking back at it now, I know it was a 340 to a 350 class bull. And beautiful 6x6. I hunted Oregon for 8 years. I was in 200-300 elk, 30, 40 plus bulls, 300 class bulls all over, never a shot, right? I had on video, I've had probably 50 opportunities of drawing back to be able to shoot, and I've let down because I haven't been on what I wanted. And then though, I was stuck in the different mindset, right? I was like, okay, I have one target set, I can't shift from that. But the caliber of how I started to actually master my mind was, I have to give myself permission to be able to shift my targets when it serves my life, right? So I should have had 8, 9, 10 different elk in the freezer over the years, but I was still stuck on that inside of the mental game of my elk has to be this certain target because that's what I committed to. And I told myself, I'm not going to shoot anything else, so I can't go back. But we have to be able to give ourselves permission and give ourselves grace to say, hey, that target doesn't serve my life anymore. I have to let it go and move on to something that serves who I am today and where I'm at. So, and that's what this year finally gave me the opportunity. I drew up the observatory tag after 10 years. It's a big bull unit, archery hunt. You know, we're on bulls, they're screaming in the morning, and then they just shut up all the smoke. I don't know if you remember the fires this year. The smoke was so bad. The other couple guys that I knew that was hunting Peaches Ridge and another area, they all left and went home because the smoke was so bad up there. We stuck it out. And I'm glad we did because we ended up, I had to blow out on the dirt bike. I had to run to Ellensburg. I had to go drop that dirt bike off to a buddy, pick up a different dirt bike because we were trying to get back on these trails on Peaches. Like complete crap day. And a buddy called up. He goes, hey, the lower grounds, there's a 340, 360 bull in there fighting last night. So I'm like, okay. So now I just completely shifted. Remind me, 7 weeks of going up there every week with cameras and minerals and stuff, scouting this area. And I completely leave that area and go to another one. I shift my target, right? Or do I? I only shift my path. My target's still the elk. Right? And that's one thing in life a lot of us get lost at is we won't allow ourselves to move from one spot to another to still obtain a target that actually gives us the result we're searching for. Called in silent. It was going in front of my buddy. Going, going, going. Stops, turns, walks 50 yards right in front of me. Blew through his shoulder. And I got a 320 non-typical bull, right? Phenomenal hunt. I mean, we were there till 2 a.m. packing them out. But it made me like I sat there, right? I was in awe because it's 10 years, almost 12 years actually of just release. Like, holy crap. I finally broke my own curse, right? Mentally. And then I could see everything flash. All the opportunities I allowed to pass by me that I should have taken. But I was trapped in this thought process that I couldn't let myself out of because I didn't give myself permission to challenge it, right? And how many of you listeners out there do the same thing in life, in relationships, in businesses, employment, you know, with yourself, with your fitness, the way you eat? We all get ourselves stuck in this idea or this story or this trap that we have to live a certain way or be on a certain path or get a certain result, right? And it doesn't serve us sometimes. We just got to say, you know what? I'm done. I'm moving over here. Because my life is about today.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I love that. So one of the questions I love to ask all my guests on the podcast is, what has hunting done for you? Obviously, we've talked so much about really the correlation of how they go hand in hand. But sum it up as best you can. Like, what has hunting done for you, your life, the power that it's given? Has it transformed you? All that.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely made me into a better person, right? Between resources and just who I am as a core value. But one of the biggest things that's done over the years, especially in my adulthood, so I've been hunting since I was a kid. I shot my first deer at 12 years old, little 5-point buck in Michigan, right? Shotguns, we don't have rifles over there, so I was never a rifle hunter. A shotgun, bow, and muzzleloader, right? And over there, weekend warriors, right? It's like, there's no mounds, there's no, you know, deer camp or anything like that. So it was a whole different thing, but it was getting out, right? Like, I love nature. I love managing the property. By the time I was 17, I was managing a few hundred acres for whitetail. So like, I had food plots, minerals, cameras up. So it started giving me that ability to to actually see bigger stuff and create it. Like, okay, I want to see these bucks in 2, 3, 4, 5 years. I want to see this. And this is, you know, 20, 30 years ago, right? 25 years ago. So this wasn't back when we had all the great stuff we have now with all these cellular cameras and everything. And so it really shifted. Like, it's always been part of me. I always spent every night after work, every weekend hunting. I mean, we could shoot up to 5 deer in Michigan. We could shoot turkeys. So it's a little bit different than Washington where you get 1 deer, good luck, you know, pick your weapon. Over there, it's like, you've got months to hunt. And, you know, it wasn't really till I came over to Washington that I truly connected to the mountains side of it. Right. And I was brought up Christian. I was in church and stuff. I never really felt a connection with God, never really felt a connection with Jesus, anything. I just went because my family went. Right. I came out here. And when I went on my first trip, that 4 days, I felt God's presence. I felt him talk to me. I felt him speak through me, telling me, hey, you're going to be okay out here by yourself. You don't have anything to worry about, because everybody was freaking out. You can't go on the mountains by yourself. You're going to die or get lost, right? I'm like, you know what? I'm listening to the voice. The voice comes through me. I'm not the one delivering the message. You know, it's the voice that comes through me and delivers this message and guides me now. And I've accepted that. And since I've accepted that, that's this whole 5-year path. But there with God was like, that was the first time I actually heard him and felt him. And hunting gave me that. Like, I never had that before. You know, I'm not gonna, you know, read scripture and stuff like that. I'm not that profound, or, you know, I don't get into the prophets, but I'm a true believer and I listen, right? And I ask. So like, I do coffee with the CEO of the universe, a good friend of mine that's, you know, very faith-based. Every Sunday, sit down, write down everything I'm thankful for and write down all what I ask of God, right? I'm thankful for all this, Father in heaven. This is what I ask for you to give me and my family, you know, on the back end, because you have to be okay with the give and take. You know, and that's one thing he teaches us. Like, it's okay to ask. If you don't ask, he doesn't know what you need help with or what you want, right? And so hunting in a nutshell, you know, gave me that connection with God and Jesus, way expanded past anything I ever had in any church, any prayer, anything else. And it's multiplied through my self-growth. So when I'm up in the mountains and I'm doing my meditation and stuff, like, you know, I've felt, you know, like the touch, like the hand of God. And I've seen like my grandfather, like in more of like a spiritual visualization. It's just stuff that I would have never thought was real. I would have told everybody, oh, you're full of shit. You know, that doesn't happen. It's not real. But it did that to me. So now I get to the point to where now I get to take my kids out, right? So from a father's standpoint and a leadership standpoint, I get to teach them ethics that they normally wouldn't have without the hunting experience. My son's been in the mountains with me since he was 2, right? Sitting in blinds, hiking. He hiked 7.5 miles on his first bear hunt at 5.5 years old.
Wow.
With a backpack on, literally hiked. And this is mountains. You were over there, Huckleberry, same area, right? He was hiking this year. He got his bear this year at 9. Right? So actually he was 8 this year, because he wasn't 9 yet, 8.5. But it's like, without hunting, you know, it's how do I teach my kids these certain values and these certain techniques and processes to deal with life, right? When they get stressed, what's the number one thing they do when they get stressed now? They either meditate, they want to go for a walk, or they go in the workout room, right? They don't have social media. You know, they do have video games. They do have their phones and stuff, but it's all in a process. It's all their control. Like, they know that, okay, this is how I do it. Well, why is that? Because they spend time with me out in the mountains. They spend time with me. He can sit down with his rifle and he can stack in a nickel at 200 yards with anything he shoots. Since he was 6.5 years old, he shoots tighter grips than I do. And the same with his daughter, Eva. She sits down. Bow, she's shooting 20 yards at 40 pounds at 12 years old, and she's stacking arrows, so she'll be archery hunting next year, you know, not with a crossbow, with an actual bow, you know. And it's like, because they do turkey hunting with crossbows. But if the biggest thing I can tell somebody to do is, like, when you get out to hunt, whether it's in the Midwest, whether it's in Florida, you know, I was hunting New Zealand red stag, wherever you're at, make sure you're present in the moment. We get so caught up in the process of the hunt that we don't actually enjoy and accept nature and what's around us. You know, take that time to just sit there and decompress, set everything down, touch the ground. If it's not like zero, take boots off, put put your feet on the ground, and just take some time to be thankful and grateful and love yourself for who you are and why you're there and how you got yourself to be able to be in the position to hunt and to be in the outdoors in the first place.
Beautiful, beautiful. One of my good buddies, Johnny L. Sasser, he always says that he needs to get bare feet on the earth every day. And he also believes in like just laying on the ground and just connecting with earth, Mother Nature, whatever it is. Like Bible, once again, I love to quote it. It's been such an influence in my life, is be still and know that I'm God.
And I love that. I'm not good. Like songs and stuff, I can't remember that. So I can't remember like the verses that well, so I don't repeat them, right? So it's just, that's not one of my skill sets that I've had. But I believe that. I believe like when you go out and you actually give yourself time to be still and silent, and you either bare feet on the ground or you're laying on the ground, you will, when you finally let go and you surrender, you'll feel it. Like you'll feel your body like healing and getting powerful just laying there. You're just like, and you're like, holy cow, just like refreshed, rejuvenated. And it only takes anywhere from 3 to 12 minutes, right? It doesn't take a long time. So it's like, just give yourself permission to say, hey, I'm going to take some time for myself, you know, create morning routines, create evening routines, start being consistent in something. Even if it's just brushing your teeth at the same time, going to bed at the same time, right? It's the little steps that make the differences.
Yeah. I love it. Thomas, this has been such an amazing conversation and podcast. Thank you so much. Can you give the listeners some information on how they can connect with you? And if they want to join you for coaching sessions or any of that stuff, go ahead and drop that right now.
So you can email me at either breakoutnowexp@gmail.com or thomas@contractorsyndicate.com. So the Contractor Syndicate is more business-based. If you're a business owner, whether you're a contractor or a business owner in general, that's the best place for the four-dimensional lifestyle, purpose-driven identification instead of the four-dimensional then and the accountability, then it's the Breakout Now. If you email me, you know, let me know that you heard me here on Johnny's podcast, and I'll send you the free PDFs on how to break out and set up your targets and goals for the year, and how to identify your true foundation of where you're at today. And also there's 7 assessments. So you have a production assessment platform of 3 for your business, and then you have a body being balance assessment for yourself to really look at and ask yourself questions on where you're at on a scale of 1 to 12. How do you see yourself? And that's all free. So, you know, message me, do that. I've got some Facebook groups. You can look me up, Thomas J. Mifsud, on my personal page. And friend request me, and I'll send you stuff there too if you don't want to email. So I'm always open.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening and tuning into this episode and this podcast. We really appreciate you. It is 2021, and for the first time, we get to look back at our lives with 2020 vision and know what we want moving forward. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, ladies and gentlemen, freedom on and stay soulful. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love it if you could go ahead and give this a rating as well as subscribe. Also, you can check us out on Instagram under the Soulful Hunter Podcast. Make sure to tag us in pictures and posts and use the hashtag Soulful Hunter. To find out more about the Soulful Hunter Podcast, go to soulfulhunter.com and be sure to follow the podcast, as we are going to be bringing you a lot of great information, insight, and changing lives through primal adventure. I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Stay tuned and stay soulful. We'll be right back.